We know that these individuals know that they have a very short window of time to inflict as much damage upon their intended target. So what they're doing is they're looking for targets of opportunity. Those targets of opportunity are presenting themselves in, you know, kids that are in passing periods, that are, you know, roaming the halls, which is why it's important that you shouldn't have, you know, free access in and out of your campus, in and out of your hallways or your classrooms. And this just solidifies those of us that have been saying that locked doors would prevent this. I mean, I'm not going to say that this individual could not have carried out an attack and moved from that door, you know, the locked door to the secondary door, which was open. Well, if that one was locked, he might have gone to the next one. But they're looking for targets of opportunity. And when you are not, you know, doing everything you can within your power as a security director to eliminate or significantly reduce those targets of opportunity, then you're opening yourself up for massive problems and liabilities.
So somehow, some way, we're going to figure out how, it's too soon, how he got a weapon into school, right? But more than likely, you know, what we've seen in the past is the student was late to school, they showed up, they came in pathway that they knew that they could get into the school, and they may have gone to a vehicle. This kid's 14 years old, probably is not driving. So, possibly showed up late.
Yeah,
could he have brought a weapon into school? Possibly.
I'm curious to know what his mode of travel was.
We're potentially saying it's an AK-47.
We don't know yet.
But that's what we've heard from
some of the eyewitnesses. Have said that it was an AK. They specifically said AK.
Right. So that's not an easy weapon to conceal.
No.
So it's not. We talk about this all the time, and it's like the foundations of security principles about perimeters, right? Setting those perimeters, having controlled entryway. How many times have we gone to schools where it's just easier to leave the door open because there's kids coming and going from doctor's appointments, from whatever, and they just the doors are open and kids can get in and out. And oftentimes doors can be opened even during class times, they can be propped open, they can do whatever, and there's no monitoring of the doors. The schools that we have seen where they have a controlled process to manage exceptions. So here are our passing periods. Here's where this class time starts. There shouldn't be any doors open and closed after this period of time. There would be exceptions. You manage the exceptions. Kids are directed to go through the front office. If they're coming from a doctor's appointment, late, tardy, whatever. If they are leaving, they go back through the front office. There's a controlled check-in and check-out. There's an accountability of where is the student? Are they in on the site or not? And then you have other schools where it's just, okay, maybe the door is physically locked from the outside, but it's just loosey-goosey, right? I mean, any of the doors are open or closed. Any kid can go from them. And again, it's the convenience versus safety. I have deployed door alarms, right? So on these schedules, whenever that's open, the door opens. And the reason why we do this is to correct the behavior. Before, we just had door monitoring, and there was somewhere there was an SRO, a law enforcement administrator, somebody that's monitoring a camera and a door opening and where that did. We didn't change the behavior. But when we added sounders to that, right? We started to change the behavior, right? So if I'm running late for class and I can't get another tardy because I may get suspension, I may get study hall, I may get whatever, I'm gonna call my buddy, right? Yeah. Hey, come open the side door for me so I can get in, right? So you go down, say you need to go to the bathroom, you open the door for me, I go in, hey man, thanks, I owe you one, right? When there's an alarm on that door, right, and that first kid comes down and pushes open that door and the alarm goes off.
Changes behavior.
And somebody comes back over and be like, I ain't going down there. Last time I did that, we both got in trouble, right? And so you have to change the behavior. Is it convenient? No. Mm-hmm. Those first few times, those teachers, they get wore out hearing it. But ultimately, the behavior changes, right? And in the schools that we have done that, they don't have those problems because the kids know, if I go and open up that door, there's an alarm going off.
Well, do you remember in 2019 when you guys did all the technical upgrades for our district? One of the things that we had built into that scope was to put those alarms on all of our exterior doors to prevent that, so we could change the behavior. Mm-hmm. Where was the pushback?
The school.
The school.
The teachers. Yeah.
The teachers. The administrators.
I don't want to hear it.
I don't want to hear it. It's going to become a problem. Well, so is a bullet to the brain. That's a problem too, right? And not to be insensitive, but that's the case, you know? And so, again, changing the behaviors. But, you know, when we do the things that we do, we have these things in place. Even if you've got a district that does the right thing, that has these, you know, these vestibules, secure vestibules, these single points of entry or designated points of entry, what is the biggest pain point? What is the biggest failure? It's the people, right? So, you know, if you're an administrator, what I will tell you is this is something that's a non-negotiable. You can't sit here and say, sometimes we're going to enforce these rules, sometimes we're not going to enforce these rules, because the consequences in the society in which we're living today is death or serious bodily injury. Do you want that on your conscience? And I assure you, you don't. So we have to get to the foundational components of what I call the three F's. Right, I've been saying this, I'm going to trademark it one day, you guys heard it here. It's the three F's. It's just like building a house. You have the foundation, you have the framework, you have the finishes. The problem with this industry is that you go to any educational security conference in the United States and you walk on the vendor floor and you have all these venture capital backed companies that are selling nonsense, unproven, theoretical products, which I'm hearing that one of them was installed at this school. I'm curious to see what that was and how that panned out for these individuals. But you have these people that are selling products that are the finishes, and I'm not saying all of them are bad,
right?
But you're selling finishes before you have a foundation. You have to have a foundation. Well, what's the foundation, Mike? An emergency operations plan, an emergency action plan, a communications plan, training, designated, you know, law enforcement response. Who's your primary responders? Who's your secondary responders? Do you have a behavioral threat assessment plan in place? Are your people trained in behavioral threat assessment? Is your entire staff trained in first aid, CPR, tourniquet application, chest seal application? Do you and have you taught them, you know, the impact of situational awareness? Do you have a reporting mechanism? All of these things are the foundational components, yet you go to these conferences and these people are selling this nonsense to these unassuming, uneducated educators. And no offense, guys, but you're buying products that you don't need. You have to prioritize this stuff. Focus on the foundation. You don't know how to do that? Call me. I'll help you. I'll do it for you.
It's like trying to ice a cake that you haven't baked the cake.
You know, it's
it
just
doesn't work.
I'm so tired of this.
This doesn't
man.
Even just apply to K-12. This is the same when we're doing a corporate campus, yeah. Right? It's simple of
higher education
people coming in, coming out. Whether it's an office building, whether it's an entire corporate campus, whether it's a K-12 facility, the principles are the same. An emergency happens. How many souls are we? This is the same thing with a plane. Right, you've seen the lady come in the plane.
Yeah.
She got the list. They checked them in. They give the pilot the list. They know how many souls are on board. Right? Why? Because when something goes wrong, who are we missing?
Accountability.
Right? There's accountability.
Right.
So whether you're on a plane, whether you're on a boat, whether you're in a building, whether you're in a factory or you're in a school, those principles are the same.
Same.
They're the same. And I don't understand why the concept is lost on so many people who are writing specifications, who are selling this product, and it just continues.
Writing laws
over.
And legislative mandates.
Absolutely.
I mean, let's talk about that. No, not to completely interrupt, but okay, let's talk about this. We're going to have a hard conversation. Okay? Why is it that since Columbine, we have continued to have this false narrative that SROs, which absolutely have a place in our schools, are the solution?
There
were two of them on campus today.
Yeah.
Yes, the shooter surrendered to them only after he had already inflicted as much carnage as he possibly could with 13, well, four deceased and nine wounded.
Yeah.
Only after did those SROs respond in enough time to be able to get him to surrender? SROs, unless they are right there in the front of it when it pops off, are responsive in nature. They're reactive in nature. I don't know how many times I have to say this. Mm. Are they great for building relationships? Yes. Are they great to be on your campus, to be able to respond? Yes, they are.
Are they a good deterrent?
They're a great deterrent. Sure. But in some cases, like today, they are not. That kid knew there were officers on that campus.
And more than likely, he knew where they were at.
Did it prevent him from carrying out his attack? The answer is no.
Yep.
Stop. We have to stop. The state of Texas just passed House Bill 3 that says that we're going to put an officer on every campus. That's a lie.
Where is the funding for that?
There is no funding. Oh. It's not funded.
And if I can't fund it, what do I have to do?
I write an exemption letter, an exception letter, and then I'm off the hook.
Okay, so then what did it accomplish?
It accomplished the governor's ability to go in his next election cycle and tell the unassuming, uneducated voter that he passed a bill to put an SRO on every campus, but he's not telling you that it's not funded. So what did we do, Mike?
So the schools don't have the money.
Yes.
And it's a requirement.
It's a requirement.
But just fill out a form and now it's no longer a requirement.
That's right.